We're reading from 1 Samuel today, 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you need Bibles, then people would just be around, so just raise a hand and they'll bring a Bible over to you. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're reading the first 20 verses, and it's, if you're using a church Bible, it's on page 271. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting at verse 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zephite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephraimite, who had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorposts of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.' As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, 'How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine.' 'Not so, my lord,' Hannah replied. 'I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief.' Eli answered, 'Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him.' She said, 'May your servant find favor in your eyes.' Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I asked the Lord for him.'"
Dear loving Heavenly Father, as we come to this wonderful passage, lift the name of Jesus up, I pray. I pray that we may be better for being together this morning. I pray as the word is open, Lord God, do something that only you can do. And Lord God, through this life that done so much for you, that we may learn brand new things that we can go away and use and draw closer to you. For your name's sake, amen. It's always lovely to be asked to come and speak in so many different churches. Every week I'm at a different church. And sometimes, especially over the summer, it kind of worries me. I get these different passages that I'm given, and I think, oh, I go to read it and think, I know why the pastor doesn't want to preach on that one. But today, this is a wonderful one. I mean, thank you, David, if you're listening to this. This is a gem. Hannah, what a life. What a life. In fact, I so loved the story of Hannah when we first had our first child. We named her Hannah because of this wonderful, wonderful character in the Old Testament. So let's just get a bit of background, then we'll look at this passage properly so that we know where we're going. 1 and 2 Samuel is actually just one book in the Hebrew Old Testament. It's 150 years of the history from God's perspective. There's so many things that are missed out, but it's what God wanted chronicled in this book is recorded there. And of course, the book is named after a son, Samuel, after the famous prophet, and what a boy he would be. Samuel was so unique that he was the last of the judges and also the last of the prophets to rule the nation before he would anoint and put on the throne and line of the kings for Israel. So Samuel, as an old man, starts to write this incredible 150 years of history. This largest part of Israel's incredible history. God, where do I start? I could see the old man asking. And God saying to him, you start with your mum. Start there. Start with your mum. That's what I want written down. During a time of darkness and immorality and sin, I want you to write about a woman whose heart was after me, your mum Hannah. Yes, the priesthood was corrupt. The high priest called her a drunk. The community thought she was cursed because she couldn't have children. And Elkanah, her husband, because she couldn't have children, thought it a good idea to take on a second wife, who emotionally abused her every day for not bearing children to him. But she prayed and she listened. And she prayed and she listened. Samuel, you start there. I want you to start with her, as she is a giant in the faith. She started something new in that nation because she prayed. So we start in verse 1 of the story of Hannah. And it says this: there was a certain man from Ramathkan, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jehoram, the son of Eli, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephraimite. We need to know that Elkanah's family line was a good line, because his son would be anointed of God to be a Nazarite, a holy man, set apart for a great, great ministry. A Levite, a priest, a leader. So we see him, he is in the line of good stock. The Bible sadly doesn't go into great detail about the life of his dad, Elkanah. But his life demonstrates that he was a man who was godly and he was a loving man. But Hannah was his wife. And Hannah could not bear him children. This was such a stigma in those days. Not continuing the family line, that he took that second wife. The corrupt practices of the time meant that there was so much stress in that family. Despite his attempts to serve God faithfully, there was stress and there was anger and confusion. Yet even so, Elkanah serves as an example of a faithful and a loving but flawed servant of God. The focus, of course, of chapter 1 is on Hannah, the godly mum. This godly woman. Firstly, I understand as I read even that family line, I understand from Hannah's life that there are no second-class citizens of heaven. If your heart is set to follow God, you are great. You can be a mum at home. You can be looking after children. You could live a great life doing that. You can live a great life being a mum, a father, a teenager. You can be you and you can live that great life. You can work at a checkout in Sainsbury's or in a garage. You can work in a garden centre, retired, sick on a sick bed and live a great life for God. If God is with you, maybe you won't be famous. Maybe you Don't paint with a great big paintbrush across the history of the nations. And maybe you're thinking, no one puts my name up or mentions my name in front. I'm just a little person. But as I read my Bible, I recognize in God's sight, there are no little people, no small people in his kingdom. Hannah held no office, no great wealth. I'm sure she went to her grave not knowing she would ever be remembered, but she gave birth to an incredible boy who brought the nation round in an incredible way. And that boy says, God, I've got 150 years of history to write down. God, I need to see things through your eyes. And God says, okay, it starts with your mum. That's brilliant, isn't it? It's worth coming just to know that. God has no second-class citizens. And we are great if we lean in on him and we ask him, who knows what God will do during this next week through your prayers. And she had a life, and that was God's gift to her. She was given a son, and that was her gift back to God. Right from the outset, Hannah teaches me, we might not be some celebrity, but we can give a life that's ours, and we can live it for him, and it becomes a great life if we follow hard after the glory of God. Hannah teaches me, the secret of a great life is commitment. She kept going on when things seemed so tough. And God said, 150 years, okay, start with Hannah. Because she entered the throne room when no others would. And she prayed. And she wanted to hear from my heart. Verse 2, Elkanah had two wives. I don't recommend it. It caused such tension in that household, such jealousy. One was called Hannah, the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none, we're told. Well, Elkanah loved Hannah. The most and jealous thing that he could have done was got another wife called Peninnah. And Peninnah made Hannah's life miserable. Peninnah had children, and every opportunity she would swipe and provoke Hannah. Day after day, month after month, year after year, Hannah responded with grace. She was ridiculed for her infertility. Yet instead of responding with such anger like she could have done, she kept her mouth shut, but she talked to God. Year after year, verse 3, this man went up, Elkanah went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. That's where the tabernacle was. Where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Well, they're characters. We're told in the Bible, Hophni and Phinehas are criticized for engaging in such immoral and terrible behavior, taking the best portions of the sacrifice for themselves and eating it, having sexual relations with the sanctuary serving women. They're described as scoundrels in the Old Testament. They provoked God and led to a divine curse being put on the household of the high priest Eli. And subsequently both died on the same day. When Israel was defeated by the Philistines, the news of the defeat kills Eli as well in 1 Samuel 4. The darkest hours in the life of the history of Israel. Religion had taken over and the relationship had gone. But she talked with God and heaven was open. Verse 4, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and also her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her and she wept, and she would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than us 10 sons? Typical man's response, that one, isn't it? He so wants Hannah to know how much he loves her, but he's not got the answer for Hannah's deepest need. He knows Hannah wants a child. He would give her the world if he could, but a baby he could not give her. He was almost saying, am I not enough for you, Hannah? The answer was no. Elkanah, only God can fulfill this one. It's about timing and it's about preparation. The problem was not so much about her being barren, but she knew she had been prepared for motherhood. I don't think she had any idea at this point what her son would become and what impact he would have on the nation of Israel. But not only did she pray and pray and pray, she listened. She was prepared for motherhood. Now listen carefully, please. Now you can live a fully fulfilled life being single, never have children. But this woman had been prepared by God to be a mother of an incredible child. Only God could fulfill Hannah's deep calling and need. But God wanted the first portion of Hannah's heart. I've long come to the realization that Wendy and my children are more loved by God than I could ever love them. He has the full picture and he has the keys to eternal life. Once, verse 9, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up and she went to pray. She's persistent, isn't she? Again and again and again she prayed. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In a deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping and weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, just stop there, it's not a bargain she's doing. She made a vow. She may be thinking here, well, Lord God, if this is the best, that the high priest welcomes the worshippers by asking if they're drunk, then I can do better than that. Lord Almighty, she said, if you only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him back to you, Lord, for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. He would be a Nazarite, set apart, no alcohol, but also set aside for the priesthood. Give me this boy and I will dedicate him all the days of his life to you, Lord. She's saying he is yours, God. She's pouring out her soul. Hear my heart, Lord. Even though she's surrounded by misguided judgment all around and disbelief all around, she says, Lord, hear my heart. If you give me this most precious gift, I will give him back to you. Search my heart, God, see if that's not true. What an incredible thing to pray for a parent, to be reminded that our children are not ours. They don't belong to us. Children are not mine, but yours, God. If my children are sick, off their failing pain or in loss, it affects me 10 times more than if something happens in my own life. It's that vulnerability spot. You know, if one of my daughters was sick in hospital and they said, Paul, your daughter needs a blood transfusion, and we tried every single match and you're the only match, but for you to take the blood out of you will kill you, but give them a full and long life, I will go down to that surgery with a smile on my face. Any dad would. But I've got to remember that God loves them so much more than I could ever imagine or understand. He loves them with that everlasting love. And he's saying, whatever befall this boy, it's yours, God. In health, in wealth, career, lifestyle, it's yours, Lord. For one day or 100 years, it's yours. It's yours, Lord. It's so really very, very difficult. I mean really, to trust your children over to the living God. But we must do it. But we need to place them into the safest hands in the universe. The problem with me, any problem comes along and I snatch them back. It's a fault line. Verse 12, and she kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Well, didn't she show restraint now? Oh, I would have blown my top. What was wrong with this priest? His sons are immoral. They're corrupt. The nation is in turmoil. And a godly woman comes in to pray and he says, have you been drinking? Hardly pastoral. So we now see this poor woman, Peninnah, is against her. The community thinks she has sinned against God because she hasn't had a child. And now the high priest is asking her if she is drunk. Eliab had no pastoral skills within him at all. He completely misjudges her and the situation. The child would need so much prayer. He had a prayerful mother to fulfill the purpose and destiny of his life. God is listening to her. God is listening to your prayer. He is listening to you. 15, verse 15, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying. And I've been praying out of my anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him for today. Once Hannah had explained herself to Eli, his heart softened. He reassured her of God's intention to answer her prayer. And he prays and he blesses her. And he asks for her heart's desire to be fulfilled. Eli does not know what he's asking for. Hannah's heart's desire was for a son that would be put under Eli's care. And God spoke to the little boy when he was in his care, right in the first few days of being in Eli's care. God came and spoke to that little boy, and Eli said, what did God say to you? Samuel said, I'll not tell you. Bit scared. Eli kept asking, okay, you want to know? Well, your two sons will die on the same day. The old man just about takes this. I wonder, though, if Samuel was not told the rest that he never told to Eli, that on that same day Eli would die as well. And the ark of God would be taken from the people of God. The enemies would take the presence of Almighty God away from the nation of Israel. What an incredible thing to be told as a little boy. Hannah and Eli had no idea what was coming. God answered her prayer and a baby was born. Samuel, who would lead the people of Israel to its first revival. Samuel anoints the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David. Samuel, who's the first of the prophets. Samuel, who's the priest from the tribe of Israel. Samuel's name means God had heard. Samuel is the last judge. Samuel, who drove the Philistines back to their territory. Samuel, who established the worship back into Jerusalem. Samuel, who set up the kingdom of Israel. Hannah knew God was in control, waiting for the right time, the right place, the right people to be involved. Hannah had come to a point here. She was totally dedicated and would dedicate this little lad. That little boy would need to be so dedicated that he could correct kings, prophesy to priests, point the nation back to God. Samuel would become a giant to the nation. All because a godly woman prayed consistently, steadfastly, trusting through all the years of turmoil and pain and wickedness. Every time God said no, she knew in her heart a day was coming when God would move and say yes. Early the next morning, verse 19, they rose, worshipped before the Lord. That's an incredible thing. She's still brokenhearted, but she worshipped before the Lord. They went back to their home at Ramah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant, gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. Saying, because I asked the Lord for this boy, he gave it. And what a mum. She kept the promise to leave a little blessing at the temple to be raised by Eli, the priest. God didn't just honour Eli and Hannah that day. God continued to answer her prayer. She had three more sons and two daughters. While we're told Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. What a life. What a blessing to the world. Because one faithful lady prayed and believed and dedicated what she had to God. And the world was changed forever. I finish with this. She's only mentioned in two chapters of the Bible. In the second chapter, she gives over a child and she prays a prayer of dedication to that child. That prayer is taken up one more time when Mary has a son and Jesus comes to be dedicated to the work that he's going to be dedicated to. That little son is blessed, blessed by the prayer that Hannah gave 1,000 years before, for her son Samuel, also for Jesus. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. I believe this nation of ours can be changed. I believe this city can be changed in one moment. Who knows in the Sunday school? Who knows that next child? Who knows that the prayers of someone here who may not be up front or be known is stirring the things in heaven. And God's heart is saying, I've seen your heart. It's stirring my heart in heaven. Let's get together and let's change things. Keep praying, Holland Road. Keep believing. Prayer was a miracle changing thing back then. It's a miracle changing thing today. We can get to the throne room. And we can see Almighty God do great things. Just as he did back then, he does it today. He gave a miracle to Hannah. We need a miracle. We need him to move. And who knows what God's going to do through you and through this church for his name's sake. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, We've just seen a lady that really, if it hadn't been for Samuel writing a few verses, we'd have never known about, but you knew about her. Oh, Lord God. I thank you for the majority of the people here that perhaps are thinking, well, we're not great in the kingdom, but they do the things that matter to you. Lord God, take our lives, consecrate them. I pray, Lord God, that we may be a praying people. Lord God, I pray that we might believe more and more in the prayers that we give each and every day. And Lord Jesus, do what only you can do. Change us. Change our families. Change our streets and our cities. Lord God, we're here and we're available. Help us through the example of Hannah today, be better and pray more for your name's sake. Amen.